going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Endlessly fascinating.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What's going on with former Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamaleava? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, and for our friends on the West Coast, looks like Nico could be headed back to the LA area. Good morning, Pearl. How you doing?
I'm good. Probably doing better than most people in Knoxville and maybe most family members of Nico.
Oh, no.
I don't know how everybody's feeling today. A little annoyed because we had the final report and then everyone walked it back an inch. I want him signed and sealed and delivered in a Bruins jersey.
Yeah, UCLA looks like the match. He's in the portal, but this is like gone beyond, you know, when's the last time we were really talking about a UCLA quarterback like this? This is really gone beyond both UT, I think, Tennessee, and gone beyond UCLA. It's become just sort of like an endlessly fascinating, as I said, story, because this is a five-star recruit coming out of high school, led a team to the college football playoff last year, a team in the SEC, mind you.
Right.
So really a gauntlet of a schedule. And then a day before spring practice is all of a sudden not showing up in the portal, trying to shake down the team for more money, or trying to ask for more money. I shouldn't say shake down. Trying to ask the team for more money. They said, hit the road. And we've got this like major story now in college football. And I think for a few reasons. One, a question for you. Who's going to come out of here looking better, if anybody? Is it going to be Tennessee? Are they going to look vindicated by saying, Nico, thanks, but no thanks? Or is Nico going to ultimately get the last laugh here where he leaves and he's going to look like a $4 million quarterback?
Well, I think
what he wanted.
Yeah, he's probably going to get paid, what, like 1.5? So he'll deliver on that, because in the actual, you know, marketplace of quarterbacks, he's not going to get much. Right now, Tennessee is everyone's hero. College football coaches are saying, yes, you took a stand. And the media, for some reason, has really come out anti-player on this. They're basically saying, hey, you're screwing teams over by doing this too late. I think at the end, I think 6 months from now, whatever, what are we, in April? Yeah, 6 months from now, we're going to say, man, Tennessee really got hurt by this. Because I think Tennessee had a great chance to do very well in the SEC and get to the playoff, maybe even win the SEC. Mm. And now, what are they? Then, without Nico, it feels unlikely that they're going to get a transfer at this stage that's going to make them a contender in the SEC. So, yeah, they look like the heroes now, but is there any doubt that this is going to fall apart next year and Josh Heupel's going to lose a year?
Well, I don't know if everybody is behind Tennessee on this one. I think that everyone is not being so much like anti-player here. I think they're specifically critical of how Nico's camp has handled this.
Right.
You know, I don't love that it's, you know, kind of like the blowback is coming on the player. You know, he's a young guy who I do not think is really calling the shots here. I don't think he's the puppet master behind the scenes. I think this is a classic case of family members and agents, everyone getting involved, having different agendas, and just, you know, being over their skis a little bit on what they think their player is worth. But I'll tell you, somebody who shares your sentiment, the Tennesseans are going to be the ones who really pay the price here. And that's Urban Meyer, who is a national champion, multiple schools, says Tennessee is in trouble.
Here's the reality is Tennessee is screwed. I mean, they are. they got a problem.
That's from the Triple Option podcast. So here's what Urban Meyer is talking about, having to go into the portal to get a QB or having a quarterback with no experience.
Lose a potential high draft pick. You have the backup quarterback left last year, and now you have a redshirt freshman that threw 9 passes and a freshman. You have zero experience. And the portal opens as we speak. They are going to have to go get one.
Another thing that Urban Meyer brings up here on the Triple Option podcast is about, obviously, you know, it's a fever pitch in Tennessee, Pearl. Like, the fan base, they're rabid. This is life, you know, for Tennessee, the Tennessee football team. So he says that while everyone is praising Josh Heupel now, the head coach, for taking a stand and saying no one's bigger than the team and the power T, so the fans aren't going to be so happy when the games start.
Everybody's saying, hey, nice job, Tennessee, making a stand. I got a little comment on that. Tennessee plays Florida usually every year in October. Can you imagine if they games going the other way? And Coach Heupel grabs a microphone and stands on the 50-yard line in Neyland Stadium and says, "Hey, it's okay. I made a stand way back when."
Ooh. Urban knows the game, man. He does. And he knows what it's like to be a coach with these rabid fan bases like at Florida and at Ohio State, where they are forgiving one day and unforgiving the next, and you can win national titles and still get run out of town.
That is, I mean, listen, I guess I completely mirrored what he said. I think it is true. I think everyone's saying Josh Heupel, that line he had, "No one's bigger than the Power T. Yeah, let's go college football." But then if they lose two SEC games and are out of the playoff, they had a great chance to make. I'm just figuring Nico was not perfect by any means, but good enough to get them to the playoff this year. Don't you think he takes a jump in that offense next year and that they're a favorite? So now that's just gone. So they blew that opportunity. I totally agree. Nico had some bad advisors around him.
Sure.
But it definitely is not a good day for the Power T.
Okay, I'm looking at this a little bit more opposite, and I'm not saying that this is anti-player. I'm not trying to be anti-Nico. This Tennessee team, if you actually were watching it very closely last year with a 10-3 season, but really 10-2 before they got blown out in the college football playoff game at Ohio State, this was a defense and run the ball team. And they have defensive players who are going to be going in the NFL draft. What is it, next week? And they were not a quarterback like centric team. Nico's the big name. He was the big high school recruit. He got the big NIL deal. But he threw 6 touchdowns against SEC opponents that actually were bowl eligible. You know, it's not like he was going in and just lighting the world on fire with these stats. And he wasn't, yes, he's the focal point because he's the quarterback and that's what we do and that's how football generally is. But it was a defense and run game type of team. And I think that's what empowered Josh Heupel to say, "I'm not paying $4 million for you. You know, you want to do this for 2.4 or whatever we agreed to before? Come on back. But 4 can't get there because you are actually not the offense." And to your point, yes, are you expecting him to take a big leap forward? Well, who sees him more than his head coach? Who's an offensive head coach?
Yeah.
Like, maybe they saw something and said, "I don't know if he can make a leap that justifies doubling his salary. Goodbye and good luck."
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Trust the coach here.
I can't imagine. Okay, so you're saying that this is about football for Josh Heupel, and in the same way, you know what? Maybe that could be right, but still, I think that to do that at 19 in the SEC, to do as much as he did do, I can't imagine he wouldn't be really good next year. I mean, don't you think that Tennessee's win total goes down 2 games?
So I was thinking about this also.
That's 9.5, by the way, and I think it goes down to 8.5, and maybe I think by the season time, 7.5.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I might take the over there, but here's the thing about this. I also wonder about this for Tennessee, which is you're in a 12-team playoff now, and we understand how much, you know, the SEC gets favored. The SEC and the Big Ten get favored in this current version of the college football playoff, right?
Right.
And they're going to change the seeding and all of that. So in a future year, would Tennessee have had to go to Ohio State? I don't know. You know, we'll see, because they're going to make changes to the college football playoff. I don't know if people look at Tennessee and say, every single year we expect you to be in the college football playoff. I think they're the kind of program where, yeah, there's a lot of expectations, there's a lot of hype. But if they miss a year, I don't think Josh Heupel's out.
No, he's not out.
That's what I'm saying.
But still, they had a great, I mean, I'm not arguing with that. Of course, Josh Heupel is one of the most well-thought-of coaches in the country. But still, to just give away a chance to compete for a title, especially because there's no way you can ignore it. The SEC is tremendously down. I mean,
still get a lot of love.
No, I'm saying, but they have a great opportunity with Georgia being down. I mean, Georgia, I think, is number one coming this season. But Alabama is not Nick Saban's Alabama. I mean, now Florida is supposed to be this powerhouse. Have we seen anything from them in years? I just think there's a great opportunity specifically this year, because Alabama is going to have sort of a mishmash of quarterback. Georgia has, I still think, an unproven quarterback. And you go around the SEC, there's nothing scaring you. And by the way, you're not scared of Ohio State in the playoff as much anymore either. Who's their quarterback? You could go a lot. This is definitely an opportunity for Tennessee this year. And this is sort of a chance at a title probably gone.
I don't see it that way. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Again, 2 things here. Tennessee, I think, wants to be, despite Josh Heupel, what he saw with Hendon Hooker and all this high-flying offense, I think being a defense and run-the-ball team has shown to be effective, like it was a season ago. And I also think that they saw Nico up front. and up close every day at practice. And whether it was just the family, but here's the thing about the family and the agents and all that. Do you understand the threshold and high bar you have and patience you have to have for this kind of nonsense if the guy's worth it? Like, this is, Josh Heupel's not new. He's dealt with crappy parents before, if they are indeed crappy. He's dealt with over-involved parents. He's dealt with, you know, people coming with their hand out. He was coaching under the old rules. I mean, he's probably seen everything under the sun. So when there were, like, no rules and, like, bag men and stuff like that, he's been around for a long time. I got to put a little trust in the guy. If he says, you know what, just no, not worth it. How many guys have been worth it, that they did supply the bag, that they did bend over backwards? I think he understands who's worth it and who's not. And I don't think this is like a Luka Doncic thing, right, where they said no thank you, but they really let this generational talent out of the building. I don't think they think that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that all sounds great right now. I just wonder, as Urban Meyer said, if they lose to Florida, it's actually November this year, they're at Florida, I believe, yeah, then none of that's going to make any difference to that fan base. They're not even going to remember this. So, yeah, I just think there's no moral or ethical stand. I mean, maybe you're right that he didn't like him as a quarterback, but still, I mean, dude was a heavy five-star quarterback. And obviously, you could see, even last year, even though he wasn't super productive, 19 touchdowns, 6 picks, great arm, he can move around. It sure seems like he can play some quarterback to me. I mean, just eyeballing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there's something that he doesn't fit the system the right way. I would be surprised. He goes to UCLA, then you're going from, what, 3 wins to 6 wins. So, yeah, I think that Nico is being portrayed as the big loser right now. Maybe did lose some money, but Tennessee is, let's revisit this in November, as Urban said. Are we really going to be like, wow, that was such a good move there by you, Josh Heupel? Way to take a stand. But it means nothing to him. Like, what's the difference? Like, his stand will result in nothing except a lower level quarterback.
Who's going to end up looking like they're in the right here? The Tennessee football program or the player, Nico Iamaliava, who leaves and goes to UCLA? Because honestly, the one thing for the player, if this doesn't put a chip on your shoulder, I don't know what is.
But I mean, it's not a matter of in the right. It's like who's going to
look better?
Who's going to look bad? Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like,
okay, who's going to look worse?
You wanna do college football, the only metric, by the way, is not right, wrong. Wins and losses are the single only thing that matters. That's what get coaches paid.
Oh, I know.
To get them fired. So there's no, that's a thing. Like, I feel like there's some moral outreach here. Not from you at all. No. You're very realistic.
I do feel
like there's no right and wrong. There's just wins and losses. There is zero other metric that makes the slightest difference in college football.
Okay, so don't you think that if Tennessee and Josh Heupel really believed that Nico was the difference between a national championship and missing the college football playoff, they couldn't come up with $2 million? Peyton Manning's wiping his nose with $2 million, just him alone, and he's just like the most famous UT alum off the top of my head. Collective could come up with $2 million if they really thought this was about a national championship?
You don't think there's a middle ground there that they could have figured out? I think that, first of all, that Nico's advisors are just all over the place.
Yeah,
I think they pulled the plug. I'm not sure Tennessee had much of a choice. When he skips practice, what are you going to do? But yeah, no, I don't think it's that black and white where they're like, well, we're not paying you $4 million, you're out the door. Maybe they had this kid in their program. They could have figured out something. You're telling me it was just $4 million or leave?
I'm telling you what I see from the story. He asked for more. They said no thanks. And now both sides are going their separate ways. So we believe that Nico's going to end up landing at UCLA. But who do you think is going to end up looking worse here? Is this going to be Josh Heupel basically signing his eventual pink slip out of UT, out of Tennessee? Or do you think that Nico's the one we're going to be like, whatever happened to Nico Iamaliava? Is he going to be a guy who plays like 6 years of college football and then is a 6-round draft pick and we just don't see
him? He could, you know, with the ultimate bad case would be DJU, who transferred around, who had a very proactive dad, who had a lot of opinions and it didn't work out. By the way, this also could hurt the SEC. If Tennessee falls out of top 25, you're going to see all these programs with one less top 25 win. And we know Alabama didn't get into the 12 team. So I think this could weaken the entire SEC, as a matter of fact, which isn't great to start with. I mean, Alabama, this could be the first year they're not a top 10 team in the AP preseason poll in forever.
Yeah. Who's going to end up looking worse here? Tennessee and their head coach, Josh Heupel, or the player, Nico Iamaliava? And his entire camp. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's the Bag and Perloff Show. We've got new intel about our favorite quarterback. We will get that to you next. Don't move.
I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in LA. It's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it.
It's going to be a good day with Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Spot the lie for UCLA head coach Deshaun Foster. Technically true. UCLA in LA. Know who else is there, Meg? USC.
I forgot how amazing
spitting
that
facts.
Is.
Spitting facts.
Way to sell the program, coach.
I'm actually in the UCLA. I'm wearing a UCLA t-shirt. You can't see this on the radio. I have this t-shirt with a little bear here. They have great color scheme. We can all agree on that.
No doubt. Uniforms are clean.
Facts. They hired this guy to be their offensive coordinator named Tino Sinceri, who is at Indiana and is a first-time offensive coordinator First-time play caller at UCLA. Everything about him seems awesome. They fired Eric Bieniemy, who they hired last year. This is a wild program with no real plan. And then they're bringing in Nico. You have to admit, like, they are the, you know, you think of Nick Saban's Alabama, this is the opposite. They seem to just pick and choose. Remember, they had Dante Moore was there, this five-star recruit. UCLA is they never spend any money on the program. They have the worst facilities in the Big Ten, apparently. I'm all in.
Wait a minute. Yeah. All that set up and then you're all in? You just said they were the opposite of Nick Saban's Alabama? Like that's not good.
They fly by the seat of their pants. No, I'm rooting for them. They're UCLA. They got to be one of the richest schools of the country. And don't they seem like a fly by the seat of their pants program?
Well, I mean that clip is so funny. Yeah. Sean Foster. I forgot that was at Big Ten Media Days when UCLA joined the Big Ten, which is in itself just hilarious. But this is manna from heaven for them. I mean, they get Nico Iamaleava's falling into their lap. They're not paying $4 million for him. I don't even know if they're paying $2 million. This isn't even finalized yet. So for them, this is like great. And they'll presumably get a very motivated guy and, you know, maybe a future NFL pro. So, yeah, this is fantastic for UCLA.
There are critics who think that this is going to implode on them, too, because once you bring in bad character.
Is he bad character? Did he get some bad advice and may learn his lesson here? And everyone in the Nico universe learns their lesson.
And also, too, he has to adjust to a new offense without a spring. So that's probably... It's not ideal, but again, there just seems, I think it'd be so funny content-wise if UCLA exploded. Very, very unlikely. They're not that good a team. Their win total's at about 5. If they exploded and were really successful here, I think it'd be an interesting reversal of this entire offseason where rightfully Nico's been criticized and Tennessee has been praised. Then we're going to flip it on its head in October. If it happens that UCLA plays really well, if Nico finally signs on the dotted line, I mean, you have to admit, the irony of it would be kind of wild.
Yeah, it would be. This is not going to be an easy schedule here for UCLA.
And they're not great.
Their non-conference is tough. Utah, UNLV, New Mexico. And then they do get Penn State at home, but they're on the road. Michigan State.
We're in LA.
On the road, Indiana. I don't know what Indiana's follow-up season is going to be like. And on the road at Ohio State. You know, you avoid Oregon, okay, but you're getting the other big guns. Let's go to the phones, 888-710-4ISN, and you avoid Michigan, 888-710-4476. Who's going to end up looking worse here, Josh Heupel in Tennessee or Nico Iamaleava in his camp? Jay's our pal in Nashville. Jay, what's the word?
Really, as far as everybody here in Tennessee, they just like, hey, let them go, you know, I don't hear nobody saying, oh, this messed up. They should have paid more money to keep him. Nobody saying that. And the thing about it is, like, first of all, they're saying his dad was behind this. His dad wasn't seeing the forest for the trees. Thinking about the long money in the situation. Could have stayed in the SEC. You know what I mean? He'd have probably got drafted, got a good paycheck, you know, after he got drafted or whatever. But if you go to UCLA, really, I think the best place he could have went was Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. You know what I mean? And he'd have stayed in the SEC. You know, and Lane Kiffin is basically kind of like a quarterback whisperer himself. He calls a good, innovative offense. UCLA, you don't know who's calling what over there. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's going to be dysfunctional. It's like you go from a functional SEC to a dysfunctional UCLA that basically used to be in the dysfunctional Pac-12. You know what I mean? So it's like, he's just you know, he's got dysfunctional people behind him giving advice, and he's going to a dysfunctional program. Yeah. So it's just dysfunctional.
Two wrongs, you're saying, don't make a right. Like, it's he's got two things stacked up against him. Now, the one thing about Ole Miss, this was like a very small sample, but Austin Simmons at one point came in for Jackson Dart and won the Georgia game, right?
Yeah.
And he was awesome. And then, you know, Dart came back in the game. They won it.
Also, I mean, there is this rule we've been talking about all week that you can't transfer within the SEC in the spring portal. And I know we both said you could probably legally challenge that, but I don't know if you'd have time to work that out. So I don't think he even talked to a single SEC team. There haven't been any rumors of that. The SEC, if Lane did it, then believe me, they would try to enforce that law.
I don't know if they hate Lane, but they're definitely keeping an eye on him. Jay, thanks so much for weighing in from Tennessee. The vibe on the ground is goodbye and good luck to Nico. Couldn't give him more money. How about Tom, who's in Huntsville, Alabama? Tom, who's going to look worse here, Tennessee or Nico, the player?
Well, first, that coach, the only thing he missed in that little segment y'all had was, hey, football, you bet, to sound really intelligent there. I'm a Georgia fan living in Alabama, so I'm a strange enema here. Not enema, a strange
enigma.
A strange identity, I guess. Entity. That's the word I'm looking for.
No, I think you should go with enema.
Yeah, well, a lot of people in this state would say that. You are correct. But I've been a Mark Richt fan for many, many years and hated that he had to retire. But and I love the fact that if there was a bad apple on the team, it didn't matter how good he was gone. And so I praise Josh Heupel for doing exactly what he did and the program. And I'm not a Tennessee fan, being a Georgia fan.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, I appreciate the call and the sentiment and everything, but does a Georgia fan really have a leg to stand on here? You guys have had more, driving-related incidents.
Oh, not now.
You've kept
more bad guys. That's what
on.
I'm saying.
Yeah, right. I was going to say.
That's what I'm saying. And
but you're winning now.
Unfortunately.
Mark Richt couldn't win.
We were winning with Mark Richt too.
Championships.
We weren't winning. That's true. We weren't winning championships. But and I don't like the bad apples on the team.
Right.
So I'm glad to see him go the moral ground and just say no. I mean, we're already paying you $2 million. Leave. You know.
Yeah.
And
well, Tom, here's the thing. I know that people love this from Heupel. And again, good luck. As a Georgia fan living in Alabama, we feel for you. Here's the thing, though. This is where you were talking about morals and ethics and everything, Perloff, and this is where college football has none of that. Because if Nico was really good and if he had a better freshman season or whatever, if they thought that he was the difference between a national title and missing the college football playoff, they'd find the money.
Yeah, you say that.
But, I believe that.
Yeah, I think this situation in particular got totally messy. It's interesting. You could definitely be right that Tennessee has control of the situation, but I think this happened and they lost control of the situation. So I think maybe you're giving them too much credit. I totally understand what you're saying, that Heupel has seen Nico in the building for a year, but there are still a lot of Nico fans. I mean, there are a lot of people who think that guy is really talented. He's big. He can throw the ball a mile, and he's fast. He doesn't – I don't know if he runs a lot, but he's – I've seen him run in a straight line really fast. I feel like he's a promising quarterback. And who are they going with now? Just tell me. I don't think they know.
So here's the – I just feel like we've been doing this a long time, and we've all been sports fans our entire life. And I don't even know if I can count on one hand how many times the talent didn't win out over – everything else. And I'm saying much worse stuff than this, like arrest. Nico's not getting arrested. He's trying to get more money. We're talking about different levels of red flags here. But I've seen way worse where teams will hang on to a guy because he's talented.
Yeah, but then they lose him all the time. You've seen it in the same thing. That talented guy goes somewhere else. They lose players all the time. Every program, they try to hang on, but crazy parents push them elsewhere. I mean, even the Georgias and Alabamas have guys in the building they would think they have, then they lose them. I think they lost Nico, too. And by the way, I don't think that to make it seem like they planned this whole thing, like, oh, Heupel was not into him. I think they lost control of the situation.
It's possible.
And it's not going to work out.
I just remember one GM always saying that we would, you know, a team would draft Jack the Ripper if he could tackle. And and that's a way more extreme example. Again, your Philadelphia Eagles always find, you know, you guys will take character guys. And this isn't even character. I don't want to lump Nico in here. This is a negotiation that got off the rails. But I just think that if the talent is there, college and professional, I've just seen it over and over again. People find the money.
They find the money. Yes, I hear you. But like, explain like Jaden Rashada, who was in, I don't even remember how many teams he was, the quarterback who's in all that legal trouble. Like, he was in these programs and he just got out of control and they couldn't work out the money.
Someone promised him like $10 million and then couldn't make good on it.
I feel like in the new NIL world, I think there's going to be a lot of situations like this. And you might call it a moral stand. I think you just sort of lost the guy. I mean, listen, we've seen this before too, where in the NFL, where guys want more money and they stupidly leave a team and the team didn't want them to leave, but then they go somewhere else and they falter. I don't know. I just think to give Tennessee credit here might be overstated.
We're asking you, who's going to end up looking worse? Is it going to be Josh Heupel in Tennessee, or will it be the player Nico Iamaleava? Jay in Nashville bring up a good point. UCLA, not known to be a great run organization, and if Nico's got turmoil amongst his camp, how does anyone really expect this to go like swimmingly? And he hasn't even signed on the dotted line.
But the bar is so low. I mean, what do you have to lose there?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Andrew Bogish in the house with all the latest headlines. What's up, dude?
Guys, good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Come on, man.
If there's one thing the Miami Heat can do these days, it is beat the Bulls in the play-in.
Davion over to Anderson, now feeds Tyler on the move. The baby float is good. His 12th make in 17 tries, Amy. He has 35. Heat in front, 99-82.
Jason Jackson on Heat Radio. Tyler Hero finished with 38, 13 of 19 shooting in Miami's 109-90 rout in Chicago. Head coach Eric Spoelstra.
He's a great competitor, so he knew he was going to have to bring, you know, a lot to this game. And offensively, he was there pretty much at every level.
So the Heat eliminate the Bulls in a third straight play-in. Another elimination game for Miami tomorrow night in Atlanta. The Mavs are headed for Memphis after a 120-106 win in Sacramento. Anthony Davis, 27 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks. The Kings, meanwhile, their season's done, and they're reportedly dumping GM Monty McNair. 3 straight 40-win seasons under him, but a sub-500 winning percentage altogether in his 5 seasons.
Can I ask if you guys have a second on the other side of the glass, because I can't do this while also listening to Bogish. EJ's busy. He's on the phone. Manny, maybe you can tackle this
just
one.
Just do like me and ignore Bogish.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Okay.
Dang it.
I've
got more work now.
I'd love to know, just in the last 10 years, how many GMs and coaches the Sacramento Kings have had. Like the total.
So this guy's been there for 5 years. So
okay,
there's
so let's go 15 years.
A little bit of continuity lately, but the head coaching thing has definitely changed.
I mean, I feel like this is like a trivia question. Just
wait, I don't know. Actually, I'm totally ignorant here. So the Kings have been rummaging through GMs?
No, not recently. This guy's been in charge for the last 5 years.
Who was before him? Vlade, right?
I think so.
Pretty sure it was Vlade.
It was Vlade. Okay, so how about just head coaches? In the last decade.
Billion? Yeah, it's like infinite number. I mean, it's been the issue
two
with
this
Vivek.
Season. Yeah.
Vivek, I mean, he's got there and it seems like, I mean, we talk about firing Mike Malone and how crazy that was. He was the original firing Mike Malone in a weird time in the season, right? He fired him second year, 10 games in when they were playing pretty good. Like that situation, I don't feel confident in while he's owning. And it sucks because it feels like they've had moments where it looks like they're turning the corner. Like the beam was a big deal a couple years ago in the playoffs. And now, like that performance last night was just atrocious.
I'm counting 7 head coaches over the last 10 seasons.
It's a lot.
Only 2 GMs. Interesting.
And apparently part of this problem now is that this guy maybe doesn't want to keep Doug Christie or make Doug Christie the full-time guy. And Vivek does.
Oh, awesome. That's going to go great. I mean, who's going to win out on that one?
Right.
Yeah, Doug Christie was a Vivek guy. Like, this was purely him wanting a guy who played for the team in the past, a legacy guy, who worked in television.
Yeah. Like, Doug was their TV analyst.
Yeah, he was a halftime analyst. So, like, this is not a Monty McNair thing. Monty McNair is like an analytics guy. He comes from the Houston Rockets.
Did you guys know some guy named Michael Malone was the head coach of the Sacramento Kings about 11, 12 years ago?
He, Boogie Cousins, together?
Or as Maggie knows him, Mark.
As Mark Malone. Sorry, coach.
To baseball.
Next head coach of the Knicks.
And a fairly impressive first inning from the Dodgers.
Rockies' last lead, April 10th against the Brewers. Would win that game 7-2. Ohtani hammers one deep right field, way up toward the pavilion and near the roof. It's gone. Shohei Ohtani with a blast. And the show starts early tonight for the Dodgers.
That's Tim Nevert on Dodgers Radio. Ohtani came back up again in the first inning, capping off a 7-run explosion with an RBI single. But L.A. only won 8-7 over the struggling Rockies. The Rangers pushed their home win streak to 7, 3-1 over the Angels. O'Neill Cruz, his first career grand slam, and the Pirates' 6-1 decision over the Nats. And the Red Sox got a 1-0 win in Tampa. 4 Boston relievers K-ing 9 over 4 1/3. Here's a scary story from the NFL. Aaron Donald now has a restraining order against a woman that's allegedly been stalking him since 2020. It began with emails, then gifts, but grew to threatening Donald's children. This woman apparently also thinks they're married, going as far as filing for divorce recently. Their next court hearing is May 7th.
Wait, you can file papers that don't exist?
Well, he found out about that through the court being like, hey, this woman who's not your wife is trying to divorce you.
Ugh.
I was thinking about this. It's obviously really scary, and this person clearly has some mental health issues if she thinks she's married to Aaron Donald. But when I saw 2020,
yeah,
this is going on for 4.5 years of their life.
I know.
That's insanely scary. Yeah.
And like, you know, people can easily now find out where you live and how to contact you. I mean, like,
she said you start emailing him. Yeah. I'm like, you found Aaron Donald's email address.
That's really disturbing.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, where you live, your address, all of that stuff.
I mean, I was even wondering, too, if like there was a time where Aaron Donald needed to convince the actual Mrs. Donald that this woman was 100% like out of her mind.
Yeah, I was thinking that,
like,
too.
Did this begin with him having to be like, no. Like, this is, I'm not doing anything wrong. Yeah. Like, this lady's just off a rocker coming after me.
Totally. I mean, that depends on what's the relationship like to begin with.
Right.
You know, if there's a lot of trust there, then the wife will trust him. If there's no trust there, then she's going to be skeptical. But obviously, this is a beyond extreme example.
And this is also, but also the aspect, too, of, you know, it's professional athlete lies, right? So even if they've had a fine relationship, you know, he could blow up at any moment.
That's true.
Given what we know the history is. So I'm sure that was a tough conversation, that just trying to say, hey, I don't know anything about this. This is crazy.
Yeah. That's it? That's all?
I mean, I can give you a hockey score if you want.
Yeah, Canadiens.
They won 4-2 over the Hurricanes. So that's all the playoff spots and they're now settled.
So Is this 5 Canadian teams or 6 that get in?
Calgary's
not in, right?
Calgary's not in.
Okay, so that means 5. So 5 Canadian teams. So you got a lot of bites at the apple here, Canada, to try to break this Stanley Cup drought this time around. Finally.
So I've been doing some background work here. I'm trying to keep track. I'm the only one here who cares about our home run. Maggie and Perloff show home run derby.
Oh, I do.
No, I do. I've just.
You got Shohei.
I just tallied up my total.
Okay, I got a Bryce Harper dinger last night in a terrible loss. The Phillies stink now, so I'm going to just engage with this MLB home run derby.
Still April. Yeah, so what we did, if you're just joining, is all of us on the show got to pick 3 different sluggers as like our little fantasy teams, and it's just whoever's 3-team little trio has hit the most home runs at the end of the year wins, and whoever is the least loses. Yeah. And Manny got to go first because we did youngest to oldest. And do you have your total?
I'll keep it a buck. I don't even remember who my 3 guys are.
I'm in the same boat with Manny. The Braves are. What happened to the Braves?
Well, they'll be fine.
They're 5. Well, and this is the worst start they've had in 100 years. They're 5-13 and they can't hit home runs. And me and Manny are stuck with their 2 biggest sluggers, Matt Olson and Marcell Ozuna.
You have Matt Olson and you have Mike Trout. I don't remember your 3rd person.
Well,
we go back to the tape.
Dang it.
I know, I know I'm at 17 home runs.
Dang.
Because I had Tatis who has 6, Judge who has 7, and then Brent Rooker, who's actually not playing well, but does have 4. So.
I have 10. Shohei's got 6. Vlad finally hit one last night. Guerrero, I was hoping on a big contract year, and then he signs a $500 million contract 2 weeks into the season, and I have 3 from Ellie De La Cruz. So 10.
I have no idea who's on my team. I thought I had Shohei, so there you go.
You do not have Shohei.
I know. I don't know who I have then. I thought I benefited from getting... I got Shohei because Manny took Matt Olson. So no.
You have Soto.
Is that who I have?
Yeah. Yeah, we did this.
You got 3.
Youngest to oldest, so...
Yeah, I can't. This applies to every baseball take right now. There's like 160 days left in the season.
Yeah, I
can't count anything. I also can't. I'm not sure I can handle you
except the
stressing over this every single day.
Braves are out. Phillies are out.
No. This is why, because Prof's going to stress and say something about the Phillies and da da da, and then he's going to midway go, no one even cares about the Phillies in Philadelphia. It doesn't matter anyway. It's all about the Eagles.
That is actually 1,000% true.
I know. I've been sitting next to you for a long time.
You make it sound like that's something Perloff is saying. That is a fact as secure as the fact the Declaration of Independence was signed there. All that matters in Philly is football. But I got 13, by the way. I think I could be in second place.
Yeah, you are in second place.
Yeah. Oh, you tallied everybody. I thought you just did you.
Well, Bogish and Manny don't know their teams.
Nope.
So I'm assuming their teams stink.
Yeah, they don't know. Then they know they're not doing anything.
No, it's because I just don't remember from the day we picked it. I'm not tracking it. I might have 20. I have no idea, but I don't remember who I took.
Going to be honest, Bogish, you've been giving Manny a lot of grief for that particular day. And the fact that you don't remember your own team...
But I didn't pick Matt Olson first overall. Those are not the same thing.
You don't even know who you picked first overall. You thought you picked Shohei, and I did.
Yeah, who would have been a valid pick? This is not Manny. This is not apples to apples in any way.
You don't remember your team.
You wish you were me, dog.
I forgot my team. I didn't pick, like, Brett Butler to hit home runs.
You don't know. You could have picked anybody.
No. I'm confident. I picked real people.
Did you pick MLB home run leader Tyler Soderstrom?
I didn't, but I have a vague memory of me and you, like, trading Alonzo and Bryce Harper at some point.
Yeah. Who is Tyler Soderstrom, by the way?
He plays for the A's.
He has 8 career home runs coming into the season.
They're
leading the baseball. Yeah,
they're playing in a minor league ballpark.
But. Is that a small part? I haven't actually followed much about Sacramento. Been too focused on the basketball team.
It is weird to watch games on TV.
Yeah,
play there. It looks like spring training. That's gonna be tough to get over. You could hear. I mean, the Mets played there a couple weeks over the weekend. You could hear everything. Fan yelling, people yelling, hot dog. I was like, what? This is bizarre.
I mean, to be fair, is it any different than a Miami Marlins game?
Is it any different from the Rays right now being at Georgetown?
Well, the worst part about the minor league stadium for the Mets over the weekend was one of the Mets players got hurt, like really badly, broke his leg. And so they had to bring a cart out to try to get him off the field, and that cart ran out of gas.
Wait, it wasn't the car he was on. It was the trailing car.
Ran out, and they had to push it.
Yeah, they had to push it to the outfield.
Like throw it in neutral and push it.
How about guys having to run out to the center field fence to go to the batting cage or the bathroom?
The opposing dugout is also across the way from the clubhouse, so you have to walk across center field, like literally from first base all the way across to left field to get to your clubhouse.
Guys, it's called charm. All right, it's called minor league charm.
It's not called that.
888-710-4ISN. Okay, lots to do, including some new information about the most interesting man in the NFL. We'll do that next.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, reacting to what was kind of a back and forth night, if you were following the news closely, about whether or not Nico Iamaleava, the former Tennessee quarterback, is going to sign with UCLA. It looks like it's trending that direction, but the deal's not done yet. And considering what's been going on with Nico the last couple weeks, you really can't say it's done until it's done, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Although, I mean, it kind of seems like UCLA or bust. Does he have any other options? There was a report. Did you see the report that no schools were going to offer him that came out on ESPN? Somebody told Pete Thamel that zero Power Four schools are going to offer him anything.
Like as a collusion kind of thing? Like all together to blackball him?
Or that they just don't think he's worth bringing in that kind of drama. I'll get the quote. But generally, I mean, I think it seems like UCLA are bust. I can't imagine another major conference program. And as we pointed out yesterday, there aren't a lot of holes. Most teams have a starting quarterback. It's April.
Well, especially if you're looking for this kind of money. 888-710-4ISN, we're asking you, who's going to end up looking worse here? Is it Josh Heupel in Tennessee for pushing Nico out or just saying, no, thank you? Or is it the player and maybe his camp? Urban Meyer came out yesterday and said this is going to backfire on Tennessee big time. Joe's in Ohio. Joe, what do you think?
Actually, guys, I have followed UCLA since I was a kid, and I'm from Columbus, so I'm from Buckeye Land. Here's my thing with that. I go way back to the Terry Donahue days and even before that, Dick Vermeil.
Sure.
Okay, my thing is this. When they had Chip Kelly 3 years ago, Bruin Nation was all jacked up and excited, and I kept telling my Bruin friends, I said, you're crazier than heck if you think that Chip Kelly is going to single-handedly turn that offense around. At the end of the day, man, they still need talent, and that is a football team that doesn't have talent. They just don't. And it's the same, and I would say Tennessee's in the same situation. They're not any better. You know, they come to Columbus and get lambasted in a playoff game. You know, I'm not talking about, you're not embarrassed if you lose to Ohio State, but you are embarrassed if you're one of the 12, not four teams. They expanded to 12, which means Tennessee and Heupel would have never been good enough to play in a real postseason. And then you come in here and get beat down by three or four touchdowns. I'll get off here and let you guys respond. Thanks.
No, Joe, listen, that was one of the more stunning results from the college football playoff. 42-17. I mean, obviously, Oregon losing was also crazy, but Ohio State beating Tennessee 42-17 when Vols fans took over that stadium.
Yeah,
and it looked like Ohio State was dead in the water after the loss to Michigan, and this is what kickstarted their run to a national championship. Here's the thing about Chip Kelly at UCLA, Pearl. You know, Joe's totally right. Finishes with a 35-34 record. Just for context, Chip Kelly's record at Oregon was 46-7. But I ask you this, was it more about, is it because UCLA doesn't have a lot of money? which is a crazy thing to say because they are one of the prestigious college programs. Like, they have such great name recognition and history and legacy. Joe's talking about Dick Vermeil. You know, they just don't have the money. Their athletic department was in real dire straits.
Well, I mean, you say it's a dire straits. They don't prioritize sports there. I think I told you the story. Jim Mora was the coach at UCLA, and he came on Dan Patrick's show and said and complained. He's like, we will not spend anything on resource on like the locker room, none of that. We can't compete with the big boys. And that's been forever. I mean, when's UCLA? I was thinking about this yesterday. I know Troy went there, but when Troy Aikman, when's the last time they were a real threat to win the national title? Is that, has it ever happened? What's the highest they've ever finished in the AP poll?
Well, the highest is, hold on one second. I know Chip Kelly, the highest he ever got in the AP poll was ninth. So at one point he did have he got to ninth in the 2022 season, but they ended up 21st.
Come on, Daddy.
Playing in the Sun Bowl.
I mean, they're obviously a competitor in college side, but why not football? It's a great question.
Yeah, just a quick search here. It seems like since 2000, the highest they finished a season in a post-AP poll was 10 in 2014. Most years they went unranked.
Yeah, wasn't there a Heisman trophy? I mean, it's amazing. They've never really been a contender. By the way, the quote that I was talking about, this is a story on ESPN to Pete Thamel and Max Olson, two leading college football writers. I think he has zero market about Nico, said a general manager at a power four school. It will be an interesting test of how smart and disciplined colleges are in looking at him. So doesn't that feels like there's more going on. It's like Nico's become a poster child for the player that wants more money. A little bit. That's, you know, it's a power four general manager.
It's such a weird disconnect there. Sorry to interrupt, but it's like either he's not good enough that no power four will offer him, or he's that five-star recruit coming out of high school, sky's the limit.
Well, it's also funny, too. We're so used, like I said, college general manager, nobody batted an eye, so that's already become mainstreamed.
Yeah, of course.
He may or may not be playing in the NFL. I mean, the general manager thing, it happens so fast. It's pro football, right?
Definitely.
So why are we treating this like pro football? There was a guy who wanted out of a team in free agency.
We are.
Yeah, but it seems like there's still some people holding on to the old model. Be like, he owes it to Tennessee.
Well, I think that we're still getting used to the dollar amounts, I think. When somebody is looking at a college kid and saying, you want $4 million? $4 million? That's like...
He was already making $2.4. That's a $1.6 million raise in the world of pro sports. That's nothing.
And so I think that if Tennessee really wanted him, they would have found the money.
Could be right. Yeah.
I think they saw something and said bye-bye. Okay, 888-710-4ISN. Who's going to end up looking worse, Tennessee or Nico? We get to Aaron Rodgers' latest update next.